Tracy Chevalier joins us by phone tonight. She's the author of half a dozen novels, including Girl with the Pearl Earring, which was made into an Oscar-nominated film, and most recently, Remarkable Creatures. Tonight, we're going to talk about her latest novel, titled The Last Runaway. Though Tracy lives in London, England, she set this book in northern Ohio near Oberlin, where she graduated college. Tracy, welcome back to Ohio, if only via the telephone.
Thank you very much. I have to say, it was a great pleasure to set a book in Ohio.
I gathered that from reading it. The Last Runaway actually begins in England, and this being the 1850s, the main character, whose name is Honor Bright, takes a very arduous journey and ultimately arrives in northern Ohio. So tell us who Honor is, what's brought her here, what happens to her sister.
Honor is a English Quaker. Her sister is moving to Ohio to marry a man who's gone ahead of her, also English, and settled. Honor has been disappointed in love back in England and decides to accompany her sister for a sense of adventure, even though she herself is not a particularly adventurous person. Unfortunately, has a terrible crossing. She's seasick all the way there, and she realizes when she arrives in the States that she can never go back because she doesn't think she could actually survive that sort of journey again. So she feels that her bridge is burned behind her, and then, unfortunately, she loses her sister before she reaches Ohio, before she reaches the town she's going to in Ohio. So she's very much alone when she arrives in her destination. In a way, the book is about the immigrant experience and trying to make a life for yourself, trying to learn to feel comfortable in a place that is so alien. Everything about it, even the way the sunlight comes through the window, is alien. It's a different angle from what she's used to. I based some of this on my own experiences as an American moving to England. I vividly remember first coming to England and thinking how strange the light was, because we're further north than where I grew up, Washington, D.C. or Ohio. The sun doesn't go across the center of the sky quite so much. It's often at an angle, and it makes for a very different light. There are just things like that. Honor immediately notices the incredible sound of the crickets and fireflies. She eats corn on the cob for the first time. She tries maple syrup. Things like that, incredible thunderstorms and snow that goes on and on till you think you're just going to die of boredom being stuck inside. So it's those sort of physical, sensual experiences that she has to learn to negotiate.
Would you say a little bit about historically what's going on in the larger society in Ohio at this time?
Ohio, I think, is a fascinating state. I know it gets a lot of knocks in the press, but at the time, there was a lot of movement. It was a very transient place. Lots of settlers from the Northeast would have to go through Ohio in order to go west. So it was like a gateway from east to west. And then there was this massive movement of runaway slaves moving from up through Kentucky or Virginia into Ohio and up to get to Lake Erie and then cross over to Canada. So you get this sort of moving around, and everybody was from someplace else in Ohio. And it had this real feeling of sort of frontier, except not frontier in the Western sort of way, but it still had a lot of ties to New England. I mean, that's what I find interesting about Ohio, is that I don't really see it as a Midwestern state. It's not Midwestern the way like Iowa or Missouri is, and yet it's not Eastern. It's really its own place. It's almost like its own country. I thought that that would be a fascinating place to set somebody who's trying to land and grow roots in a state, in a place that is just awash with people moving around all the time. Honor gets caught up in the Underground Railroad, which is passes through, literally through her farmyard. She ends up living with a family, marrying, and in the family she's in, one day she looks out in the farmyard. She's on her own, and she sees a runaway slave, and she realizes that the slave needs help. She has to decide what to do, and that's really what the book is about.
Yes, and there's this larger context of the Quakers' stance on slaves. I think you had some surprises about that, didn't you?
I did, because the Quaker belief is that all people have a kind of what they call an inner light or an inner spirit in them, which makes us all equal. And people should be treated equally, and hence there should be no slavery. There were a lot of Quakers who were abolitionists and who worked on the Underground Railroad. However, in my research, I discovered that Some Quakers actually held slaves themselves in the 18th century until about 1776 when they were told not to. And I was really amazed by that, but even more amazed by what I discovered is called the Negro Pew. In one of the meeting houses in Philadelphia, there was this pew for black Quaker members in the 19th century who could attend the meeting but were not allowed to sit with white people. I was just astonished that this would be the case. But, you know, it also made for a better book, I think, because instead of things being literally black and white, like Quakers are all good, well, they weren't all good. They had their faults and their prejudices as much as anybody else. There were as many Quakers as there were working on the Underground Railroad. There were plenty of other Quakers who said, no, we don't want to break the law and risk being imprisoned or fined. We don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to defy the government. People think of us as outsiders enough as it is. We just want to keep ourselves to ourselves. So if any runaway slaves come through this farmyard, don't you dare go and help them. Send them to somebody else. That was as common as Quakers working on the Underground Railroad. I wouldn't say I had a lot of fun with that, but it made this story much more dramatic, I think, in a sense, because Honor has to really decide. She's a very principled English Quaker who has always believed that slavery is a terrible thing, and yet putting it into practice is a much different story.
I do want to move to another important part of this book, because one of the things that I so appreciate about your work is that you often find women in history who were relegated to the shadows, if you will, and bring them and their work to the foreground. So talk about the importance of quilting and quilt in The Last Runaway.
I always like to have my characters do something, make something, because that was so common in history that people made their own things. I decided to make it quilts because I was looking for something that both English and American women would do, and also something that I could learn to do myself, because I always like to do a bit of on-the-job training. I fastened onto quilts because they're so common, they're still done, and it's something I could learn to do myself. And I love quilts because, to me, they're not artsy, crafty, fuzzy, cute. Especially back then, they were made for practical reasons, to keep warm. They were made with whatever materials a woman could find, often out of old clothes. So there's a sense of history being literally sewn into these layers. It also gave the women an outlet for creativity in lives that were not, by and large, particularly creative. Some of them, I mean, they put an enormous amount of work into them, and they're absolutely gorgeous. I had such a great time doing the research for that, not only looking at gorgeous quilts and reading about them, but also I took a quilting class myself and now, in fact, have joined a quilting group I go to every Monday. I finished a quilt a month ago, and I'm so thrilled to have gotten through that and now making another one.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it takes a while. You have to be in it for the long haul, and I know that from writing novels. Although I have to tell you, right after I finished the quilt, the first thing I did was I knitted a scarf that only took me 2 days to do because I just wanted something that would be like quick.
You expose us to several different kinds of quilting in this book, African-American quilts, the former quilting of England that Honor was accustomed to, and applique. So which one did you choose?
I did sort of a simplified patchwork, not the templates that Honor did, but more like squares. But the next quilt I'm going to do, I'm trying to go the African-American route of the more like G's Bend, Alabama quilts, which are these incredibly bold, blocky colors. They remind me of jazz when you look at them. They're just extremely bold and slightly irregular. They have an ad hoc quality that's really hard to capture when you're doing it. It's like gardens that sort of look like nobody's done anything, but actually it takes a lot of work to get that wild look. So that's what I'm struggling with now.
I think jazz is a great description of those quilts. I trust that your quilting ventures won't keep you away from the next novel, and we will look forward to it. You're a wonderful writer. Thanks so much for visiting with us tonight.
Thank you very much.
I've been talking with Tracy Chevalier about her latest novel, The Last Runaway, set in pre-Civil War times in northern Ohio. You'll find more information at WVXU.org. Or around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.